Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, last week, I told you that we were wrapping up the series about Jesus' death and crucifixion. But really, in many ways, today's message is really an extension of that. We kind of want to focus on what we're calling the word of contentment. And we're going to talk about how Christ was resting in the fact that he had done everything that his Father wanted him to do. So here's Pastor Reynolds as he talks about those words of contentment.
This morning, we want to continue with the thoughts that Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, was very, very contented because he knew that he had done everything that his Father wanted him to do. This is why he said in the book of Luke 23 in verse 46, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost." Jesus Christ was very contented because he was resting not in what he had done. Rather, he was resting in the fact that he had done everything that his Father wanted him to do, that had been prophesied of him to do when he died on the cross of Calvary. Think of this. In connection with each of the Savior's utterances that he said on the cross of Calvary, a prophecy was fulfilled. The first thing he said was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And thus he fulfilled Isaiah 53 and verse number 12, where the Bible says that he made intercession for the transgressors. Number two, he promised the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And thus was a fulfillment of the prophecy of the angel to Joseph, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. Jesus Christ indeed came to seek and to save that which was lost. To his mother, he said, "Woman, behold thy son." And thus fulfill the prophecy of Simeon, when the Bible says, "A sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." Number four, he had asked, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And these were identical to the words that he spoke in Psalms 22 and verse number 1. Number five, when Jesus Christ exclaimed, "I thirst," it was not because he was thirsty. Rather, it was because he wanted to fulfill the scripture. Psalms 69 and verse 21. The Bible said in this place, "In my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink." And then number six, when Jesus Christ shouted in triumph, "It is finished." These are almost exactly the same words that Psalms 23 uses when it closes out that psalm. This reveals that the work of the atonement was complete. When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," this is exactly what he means. It is finished. There is nothing else left to do. And now, in Luke 23 and verse 46, he prays, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And just as Psalms 31 speaks of David having victory over his enemies, Christ will also have victory over all his enemies and ours. One of these days, Jesus Christ will come back to this earth, and there, everyone will see that he has the power over all things. You see, it is more important to trust Christ and what he has done for us on the cross of Calvary than to trust any of our work that we ever do. None of our works can compare to the good work that Christ has done for us, because he gives us eternal life. And all of our works from that point on reflects the love and power Christ has in us. An exceedingly precious thing is to understand that the Savior is now back in communion with his Father. For a while, when our sin was on Christ, communion between Christ and God was broken. It was broken outwardly as the light of God's holy countenance was hidden from Christ. But now, the darkness has passed, and forever separation between God and Christ and us and God is ended forever. Up to the time of the cross, there had been perfect and unbroken communion between the Father and the Son. It is marvelous to see how the awful cup itself had been accepted from the Father's hand. In John 18, verse 11, Jesus Christ says, "The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" When Jesus was first nailed to the cross, he was still found in communion with his Father, for he had cried, "Father, forgive them." You see? And now the last words that Jesus Christ utters on the cross is, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." But between those two utterances, between the first and the last time that Jesus Christ spoke on the cross, he had hung on the cross for 6 hours. 3 hours spent at the sufferings of men and Satan. And 3 hours spent in suffering at the hand of God as a sword of divine justice smote him. During those last 3 hours, God had withdrawn from the Savior, evoking Jesus Christ to utter these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But now, all of that is done. You see, Jesus Christ had drank the cup that the Father had given to him. The storm of wrath is now spent. The darkness is already over. There was 3 hours of darkness upon the earth while God turned his back upon his only begotten Son, because Jesus Christ was bearing on the cross our sins. So the darkness is already over now, and the Savior has seen once more in communion with his Father. And this communion will never, never, never be broken again, because one time was enough. Jesus Christ said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." How often had Jesus said, "Father"? The very first time that he uses the word in Scripture is found in the book of Luke 2 and verse 49. Read that passage. Jesus Christ is here a boy, only 12 years old. He is considered to be a man. He has left his mother and his stepfather. As they travel back home after worshiping God in Jerusalem, they missed him that night. They travel back to Jerusalem, wondering what has happened to their son. When they find Jesus Christ, he is there in the temple, discoursing with the elders, confusing them, no doubt. They ask him, "Why have you done all this?" And he says in Luke 2:49, "Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" A little bit later, in his first formal discourse, the Sermon on the Mount, he speaks of the Father 17 times. In his final discourse to the disciples, found in John 14-16, the word "Father" is found no less than 45 times. The next chapter, which contains what is known as the great high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ, he speaks to and of the Father 6 times more. And now the last time he speaks, just before he dies, he says again, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. How blessed is his Father to him, and how blessed his Father ought to be to us. His Father, you see, becomes our Father when we are eternally saved. That is very wonderful. It is very precious indeed. How unspeakably glorious it is that I can look up to the great and living God, and I can say, My Father. What comfort is contained in this title? What assurance it conveys that God is my Father. It is not that I want God to be my Father. It is rather that He is my Father. Why? Because He has saved my unworthy soul. There's nothing left for me to do. Jesus Christ said, It is finished. He loves me. Jesus is also loved of the Father. But the wonderful thing about it is that God has loved me. It's not that I want God to love me. It is that God already loves me because He has eternally saved my soul. I didn't do anything to deserve that. I didn't do anything to earn it. Jesus Christ has paid the price for me on the cross of Calvary. And I am eternally grateful to Jesus Christ. He is the one that I glorify today. He is the one that you ought to glorify. Because Jesus Christ is the one, the only one, that could ever pay for your sins on the cross of Calvary. John 17, verse 23 states, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You see, God is my Father, and He loves me, but not only does He love me, but He cares for me. He wants me to be molded in His own image. This is a great and a wonderful and a marvelous thing. Philippians 4 and verse 19 states, But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God shall supply everything that I need by Christ Jesus. Not according to any kind of good work that I've ever done. Rather, because of the good work that Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. Romans 8:28 states this, And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It would be marvelous indeed if all of God's children understood what we have in Christ. We don't have these things because of anything we have done or plan to do or even want to do. Rather, we have all of these things because of what Christ has already done for us. There is little more than any true believer can say except to cry, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. 1 John 3 and verse 1 is a verse that states this. The prophecy of Christ's betrayal had already come to pass, but now, in the scripture that we read, there, in Luke 23, verse 46, that is all over. You see, for more than 12 hours, Christ had been in the hands of men, and sinful men at that. He had already told his disciples, but they didn't understand what he was saying. Matthew 17:22-23 records this: "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him." Now that's pretty plain talk. Jesus Christ said that. But the disciples, they didn't understand what he was saying. Just like oftentimes, we don't understand the things that Christ has willingly and freely said to us. He is the one that we worship. He's the one that we serve. He's the one that we adore. He's the one that has died on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that has shed his blood for us on the cross. He gave it all for us. In Matthew 26:45, in Gethsemane, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners." When Christ had been then arisen from the tomb, the angels in Luke 24:6-7 said to the women, "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." All of these passages were fulfilled when the Lord Jesus delivered himself up to those who came to arrest him in the garden. As we saw earlier, Christ could very easily have avoided arrest. It was a very simple thing to do. All he had to do was to leave the officers of the priest laying on the ground and walk quietly away. But he didn't do that. The appointed hour had come, and Jesus Christ willingly submitted himself to the desires of sinful men. It was time for him to submit himself to be led as a sheep to the slaughter. Therefore, he willingly delivered himself into the hands of sinners. How they treated him is well known to anybody who reads the scriptures. They took full advantage by giving full vent to the hatred of the carnal heart against God Almighty, against the righteous one, against the Son of the living God, the perfect one, who had never sinned and who went about doing good and healing people. They killed the Son of God. But now, all is over. Man has done his worst, but I want to say that Christ has done his best. The cross has been endured. The appointed work is finished when Jesus Christ says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Voluntarily had the Savior delivered himself into the hands of sinners. And now, voluntarily, he delivers his spirit into the hands of the Father. This is a stark contrast. Never again will Jesus Christ be in the hands of men. Never again will men, wicked men, control Jesus Christ. Never again will Jesus Christ be at the mercy of the wicked. Never again will he suffer shame. In the hands of the Father, he commits himself. And the Father will now look after Jesus Christ. 3 days later, the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ was really dead, which is why his body lay 3 days and three nights in a borrowed tomb. He didn't need a tomb for very long. 40 days after that, he ascended into the Father, and he was highly exalted above all principalities and powers and every name that is named. This is when Christ was set at the Father's own right hand in the heavens, and there He now sits on the Father's throne, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. Revelation 3:21 records this absolute fact. When Jesus wrote to the church of the Laodiceans, he said in Revelation 3 in verse 21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." It won't be very long until God the Father sends Jesus Christ back to the earth. Jesus Christ is the one that the world cast out. But Jesus will be sent back to the earth by God the Father to rule and reign over the whole world with a rod of iron. The situation in that day will be entirely reversed. When Jesus was here on the earth during his personal ministry, man hated him. But there is coming a day when he shall sit and judge them. Once he was in their hands. But there's coming a day when wicked, sinful men will be in his hands. When Jesus was crucified, men had their way with him. But when Christ rules on this earth for 1,000 years, every person will glorify and honor him because he will rule over them. If any person during that 1,000 years, if any person or group of people refuse to honor Christ during this 1,000 year reign, he will bring swift punishment upon them all. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16 through verse 19 speaks of this wonderful, glorious time. The Bible says in Zechariah 14, verse 16 through 19, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Notice verse 17. "And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." Verse number 18. "And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague where the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This," in verse number 19, "shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." You see, right now, Jesus Christ is in the Father's hands. Jesus Christ is now seated upon his throne. He is awaiting the time when he will judge his world. It is very significant that Jesus Christ said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the spirit. You see, it is very blessed indeed when we see Christ continually yielding himself unto God the Father. When his mother sought him in Jerusalem as a boy of 12, he said, "Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" When he was hungry in the wilderness after a 40-day fast, and the devil urged him to make bread out of stones, he lived. He actually lived by every word of God. When the mighty works which he had performed and the message he delivered failed to move his accusers, he submitted to the one who had sent him, saying, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." Matthew 11, verse 25. When the sisters of Lazarus sent to Jesus to tell him of the sickness of their brother, Jesus Christ didn't hurry to raise Lazarus or to heal Lazarus. Instead, he waited 2 days in the place where he was. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. You see, it was not natural affections which moved Jesus Christ to action, but the glory of God. He wanted to do what God the Father wanted him to do. That's the way that we should live. We should always obey the desires of the Father's will and do exactly what he wants us to do and not do anything else. God will always work out all the details. In all things, Jesus Christ submitted himself unto his Father. In the morning, according to Mark 1, verse 35, he arose up a great while before day in order to pray to his Father. Christ anticipated the great crisis and prepared himself for it by pouring out his heart in supplication. He spent the very last hour before his arrest on his face before God. How fitly might Jesus Christ say to us, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." As he had lived, so he died, yielding himself into the hands of the Father. This was the last act of the dying Savior. And how exquisitely beautiful is this act. How thoroughly in keeping with the whole of his life. It shows that anybody who cares to look, his perfect confidence in the Father. It revealed the blessed intimacy there was between the two of them. It exhibited his absolute dependency upon God. In all things, Jesus Christ was and is our perfect example. Today, understand that Jesus Christ did always the will of his Father. And Jesus Christ, because of this, was greatly blessed. This is the only way that blessings will ever come to you when you do the Father's will.
Well, I do thank you, Brother Wayne, for that message and that great reminder of how that when Jesus was dying on the cross, he was 100% fulfilling his Father's will. And may we always follow that same example. You know, the messages about Jesus Christ, his death, and some of his sayings on the cross, those can all be found on our website under the audio section. They're free to download and listen to. So if you missed some of them, or you just want to listen again, or maybe even you know someone that would enjoy them or benefit from them, then simply go to our website at independencebaptist.org and check out the audio section. And of course, while you're there, you can also check out the various tracks, articles, and books that are available. Now, if you see something that you think would benefit others, feel free to print them out yourselves, or you can contact us, and we'd be glad to send you some paper copies. Now, Pastor Reynolds' email is available on that website if you'd like to request copies of anything. Now, we also want to make sure that you know about the full-length sermons that are available at sermonaudio.com/IBC. And from this website, you can download and listen to any of the messages that are preached on Sundays there at Independence Baptist Church. So basically, each message that is preached on Sundays, we download those to that sermonaudio.com/IBC. And then you can listen to them in various formats and various devices. So be sure and check out that page. Now, we also want to remind you of the times of our services. We'll be meeting for Sunday school this morning at 10 a.m. And we'll have a worship service that starts at 11 a.m. Then in the afternoon, we kind of all come back together and we share some prayer requests and we just spend some time in prayer. And that typically starts about 3:45. Then at 4:30, we're going to have our final worship services of the day. And again, that final service starts at 4:30 in the afternoon. Now, if you'd like to join us for services, you'll find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. In addition to those Sunday services, we also meet together every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for a Bible study. And we would really, really enjoy to see you there. So again, today's services, our Wednesday services, you can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Well, as we come down to the close of the service, we do want to thank you for listening this morning. And we trust that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.